When you've got the head of an organization for government, which is responsible for millions of dollars in revenue and millions of dollars in sales, it is concerning. It's a difficult report. It's a report that I think the NLC has accepted and will address the recommendations in the report, and we'll strengthen the organization as a result. Conflict of interest provisions that existed at the time at the NLC did count a son, did count close family and friends as a conflict of interest. And I believe that's the reason the Auditor General very clearly indicated that the former CEO had broken the conflict of interest guidelines at the NLC. What have we done since? As soon as I became aware of potential concerns at the NLC, we started a process. We removed Mr. Winter as CEO of the NLC. Just last year, I introduced legislation in the House of Assembly that changed the composition of the board of the NLC and removed the CEO's voting privileges at the board. In addition to that, the interim CEO at the NLC immediately moved to strengthen the conflict of interest guidelines at the NLC, including having staff members sign those guidelines on an annual basis, and furthermore, implemented a conflict of interest guideline for suppliers to the NLC. So we've taken a number of measures already to strengthen that. In addition to that, because of the complexity of conflict of interest, because of the makeup of a number of our boards, our agencies, commissions, and each of the departments, the Department of Justice have undertaken a full review of conflict of interest government-wide. That review is very nearing completion. They've looked at what the federal government have put in place and are putting in place. I understand the federal government are changing their conflict of interest guidelines as well. And I think in the very near future, the Department of Justice will bring forward conflict of interest changes that will impact government-wide. When I took the action with Mr. Winter, there were a number of reasons. This was one of them. And let me explain. Mr. Winter, at the time, showed a lack of cooperation on the legalization of cannabis, a lack of support, I should say. In addition to that, I think there was a lack of support for financial and fiscal efficiencies and operational efficiencies within the organization.
What do you say to the public when they're going to look at this report and look at it and read through it and say, how did this possibly go on for so long?
As soon as I became aware of the concerns, I immediately started to take action. And I thank the individual employee that brought the concerns to me. You know, as soon as I became aware, we took immediate action. It was a very difficult decision, as I said. It was difficult for a number of reasons. If an individual is innocent, you have to protect the reputation of that individual. Therefore, when we made the decision, initially we made it without cause. If you remember, I took a great deal of heat over that decision from some members of the public, from some members of the media, from the opposition, in particular from Mr. Winter. That made the decision even more difficult because I didn't know if the concerns were validated at the time or not. And it was a very serious action to take. To be quite honest with you, you know, I lost sleep over that decision because when you make a decision like that, it is a serious decision. But the reality is I had no choice to protect the organization, the NLC, to protect the taxpayers of the province. I made that decision. I took the heat at the time when I made the decision. But I honestly believe I acted in the best interest of the taxpayers of this province.